From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hello, Canada. Welcome. Welcome inside the Rod Peterson Show. We are live on this Wednesday, March the 18th. Episode 195 of Canada's only morning sports talk show coming at you out of the bunker here. Rod Peterson behind this microphone. Darren DuPont on the other side. How you doing, Dupes?
Doing really well.
That's good.
You?
I'm good.
Good.
Real good. Are you ready to talk sports for the next 2 hours?
Let's do it.
That's good. I just want to point out that indeed we are live. And actually, it's now Wednesday. Over the weekend, fielded a lot of questions of this. Are you going to be on the air this week and so forth? Not fielding as many now.
Right.
Because we've been on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that will continue for a long time.
Yeah. Indefinitely.
Yeah, exactly. We are on the air indefinitely. A big show today. I don't know how it'll be tough to top what we did yesterday with Darren Dreger, Peter Labardi's rant going viral, which is in my quick six show topics here. Lou's rant going viral.
Yep.
Our NFL chat with Tori Gurley. Munsey checking in from Winnipeg. But we're going to try today on the program for you, everybody. Ray Elgard, Ryder Great, going to join us from Las Vegas. And obviously a good and longtime friend of mine. And of all these guys, I'm excited about all the guests today. He's the one I'm most excited about. A, because he's a good friend. B, he's a Ryder Great. Get his take on Canada's team. And three, what's Vegas going through?
Yeah.
Because it's a ghost town around here, but nothing happens here. Different story in Vegas.
Yeah, the difference between day-to-day and now, massive in Vegas, my understanding that everything's being closed down. You know, I can't imagine the hotels and the casinos and everything else, just how quiet it would be in Las Vegas right now down the strip.
We'll find out.
Yep.
From Sugar Ray. Saying hello to everybody. This is, of course, live interactive television, if you will, digital show. Dan Ukrainitz writing in. He says, morning, guys. Don't mind me. Just here for my victory lap on predicting Brady to Tampa. He did. Dan Ukrainitz, a week to 10 days ago, figured that Tom Brady would be signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's expected today, which is in my show topic. So just hang on, Dan. I just wanted to point out, kudos for you for nailing it. And you notice that I'm wearing my Bucks gear today?
Yep. Looks good.
I'm so upset at myself yesterday that I didn't have any Patriots gear. Don't! Because I have it from just about every team.
Yeah.
Rifled through my closet this morning and found this Buccaneers gear. And if I do say so, I don't know why it's taken so long to wear it. Although the show experts say red clashes with the set. Have you heard that from anybody? Because I have.
Oh, no, that's new for me.
Some of the fashionistas have said that it clashes with the screen. I don't know. I think it looks fine. So, Ray Elgard, Jim Lang's going to be with us, Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League. Jim Clubber Lang will be with us to talk about Brady to the Bucs and everything else. And author Ron Snyder will be with us. He just hot off the presses wrote a book on the Baltimore Stallions of the Canadian Football League. And his book signings aren't going that well.
Oh, really?
Nobody's showing up. Why do you think that? They can't.
Exactly.
Because of social distancing. So we're going to do a virtual book signing here on the show. How's that?
That's a great idea.
It was his idea, by the way.
That's awesome.
So Ron Snyder, writing a book on the Baltimore Stallions, will be with us later on today from Baltimore. And the Duke, Derek Myers, who's sitting just off set on the sponsor's couch, will be here as well for a second straight day. Thank you, Duke. I just want to tell our viewers from wherever you're tuning in from, the toilet paper on the wall is not real. This is a green screen. The guys downstairs have, as you well know, not a lot to do. So they thought they'd have a little fun and do on the virtual green screen here a stack of toilet paper, a mountain of it, actually. So we are not the selfish jerks that you think that it looks like, hoarding toilet paper from Walmart, Safeway, Costco, you name it. I thought I had to point that out.
No, it's okay. Absolutely. We wouldn't sit here with all of it. And then, you know, like the king, show up, single file line, and we'll hand out your 5 sheets a day of toilet paper.
I want to move on to the show topics now. Number one, It was a story that I tweeted yesterday, is getting some pub across the nation that the CFL is hopeful that its season will begin on time. I tweeted it yesterday that at least one CFL team had informed its coaches of that, that they didn't expect a disruption to the season. Three Down Nation has now picked up on the story, which the CFL made a statement to Three Down Nation. This wasn't something they sent out in a news release. This isn't something that they put up on their own website. This was a statement for Three Down Nation. And it's very predictable in what they said. They remain hopeful that the season will begin on time, but of course, of paramount importance right now is the safety of the league's staff, employees, fans. Obviously, we all get that. And I think the point of the tweet from me in the report was simply, quite frankly, to put out some good news, to put out some hope. I put that in my show recap that I wrote yesterday at rodpeterson.com as the reason behind it. It wasn't to get viewers. It wasn't to get clicks. But by the way, even if it was, who cares? That's the whole concept of business. But it's not capitalizing on a panic. It's to, again, give people hope. Now, I got more thoughts on that, but what are yours?
I mean, it's a good thing that there's some, at least, you know, ray of positivity. I think, you know, you look at whether it's the NHL in the news on a daily basis or the NFL, all systems go right now. That's where you want to be. I mean, the last thing you want to do at a time like this is go away. And I know it's important to take care of people's safety, and it's important, you know, to consider that first. And when we're talking about a mass pandemic and we're talking about $80+ billion bailouts, you know, from, you know, the country and things like that, we're talking about the safety of our nation. People matter. Where does sports fall in this? Probably not a huge importance. Oh, your season's canceled. Probably not a big deal in terms of life and death. But it is a part of the fabric of our culture, of who we are as sports. And in Canada, that's the CFL. And it's a league that isn't in the middle of its season, so you're not canceling anything. You know, you have faith in people. You have faith in us that we're going to be able to, okay, social distance, quarantine, and then get back to business soon. Nobody wants this shut down more than it needs to be. And so you should be. I'd be more concerned if you weren't optimistic that the season was going to start on time. And, you know, keeping in the news that you're worried, but you're, you know, keeping the concerns of your people at the top of your mind is great. But also that you're excited about the start of the season, that, hey, we're going to come together, we're going to get through this, and then we're going to celebrate by starting the CFL football season on time. It's good.
We'll take some questions as we go, but Nelson Hakowich has written in. He says, how do you feel about James Wilder Jr. posting publicly on Twitter asking if he'll still get paid if there's no season? What the hell's wrong with that? Everybody's asking it. And maybe I take that somewhat personally because I know James and I know him to be a good guy. What the hell is wrong with him asking if he's going to be paid throughout any potential disruption to the season? People need
asking.
To stand down. And by the way, I knew that the tweet would be unpopular with some people, with the powers that be. I knew that. I would ask, do you have trauma and stress relief counseling training? Because I do. People out there are panicking. And I'll give you a great example. I went to a store yesterday. Lady said, people need to calm down. People are snapping on each other. And I said, well, can you give me an example? This was the clerk behind the till.
Yep.
She said, lady gave me $20 for a pack of gum. I gave her the change, and the lady said, are you going to sanitize that change? And I said, did you sanitize the $20 bill? All of a sudden, they're at each other. They're fighting. Talked to a guy this morning in the gym. People are panicking all over the place. People are scared. Look, Derek brought it up yesterday, the mental health component to this. I've had to constantly coach myself, and I'm strong. I can't imagine what other people are going through, right?
Yeah.
So some of the fundamental concepts of trauma relief and stress too, you are safe. Sit down and look and see if you are safe. And if you're not, reach out for help. Ask for help. Because nobody wants to do that.
Right.
Asking for help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. But people are panicking all over the place. And a lot of the media, you want to talk about irresponsible reporting? What do you think's caused a lot of this panic and fear out there? So the idea of the report about at least one team telling its coaches that they don't expect a disruption to the season is a move to let's calm down here. There is hope. It was meant to be a good news report. Not everybody's taking it that way.
No, I think it's a great news report. I mean, that's optimism and excitement. This league is working off of that. We have to remain optimistic. You know, and we have to be cautious and we have to be careful and take the right precautions, but we have to remain optimistic. And that's not just with COVID-19. That's in life. That's with everything. If you're not optimistic, it's a pretty sad world if you don't have optimism. So that's super important. Yeah, in terms of, I mean, the change going back and forth, that kind of gets me boiling up. Did you sanitize the $20 bill, right, that you gave me? But it had me thinking of David Benefield's, was it a Twitter video? Or Instagram video. He's like, you know, and he points it out. He's great. It's allergy season. It's cold and flu season anyway. And so he's like, I got allergies and can't go to the store to get my allergy meds. You start sniffling, your eyes start watering and get puffy. Those are allergies kicking up. He's like, could you imagine being on an airplane with the sniffles right now?
Not good.
Not good.
It's on Benefield's Facebook page, and it's hilarious. So funny that I actually played it for all the guys yesterday in our morning meeting. I love David Benefield. But anyways, Jamie Neugebauer is watching. He's the voice of the Notre Dame Hounds, and he says, taking a minute of self-assessment and awareness is huge. Do it multiple times a day. I've had to, but that's the training that I've had. And by the way, that's for me. I mean, I actually sit there and say, you know what? I'm probably safer and more secure than 98% of the population. And there's times where I get worried. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what everybody else is going through. So those are just some of the small tips for trauma and stress relief through my training. And by the way, if you need to talk to somebody, reach out to me. I'm very easy to find. Very easy to find. And I'll give you the help maybe that you're looking for or direct you to the right areas. Can we move on,
please?
Point two, Tom Brady to Tampa Bay. You notice yesterday's points, point one, two, three, and four were all about Tom Brady. I don't know if it's officially been announced yet. My phone has not been going crazy in terms of notifications. So I guess the Bucs haven't officially signed Tom Brady. But I will tell you, they were the dark horse in the race. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, when you look at Tampa, we're seeing that they've got the weapons. Tons of weapons. Mike Evans, you know, among the leaders there, O.J. Howard, they've got weapons, but there's not much else going on. What did you call Tampa? The sweatpants capital of Florida?
Yes.
That doesn't really scream Tom Brady. It doesn't scream Giselle Bundchen, right? It doesn't scream that life. So you think L.A. because there's the Hollywood thing happening and what's going to happen after in transition, kind of like LeBron is, to more Hollywood and life after football. You know, there's Dallas, and that's, you know, most billionaires in that city than almost anywhere in the world in Dallas. You look at all these different places. Tampa, there was no reason for him to go to Tampa. It was kind of the downfall with Tennessee a little bit was it's not really the big show city. It's kind of a quiet market in the NFL, right? It's not a big market. Tampa's not a huge market either, but the weather's great. Team looks pretty good. Tom has an opportunity to prove he can still play football, and he'll inject that show into Tampa.
That's point two, but I just, you know, when we go to the NFL, I see that the NFL is getting criticized for being arrogant, for saying, full steam ahead, no stoppage, we're going to do the draft, season starting on time. There's a real fine line between arrogance and confidence. It's very blurry. I would say it's confidence. I like it. I admire the chutzpah. That's what I was trying to do with the CFL tweet. Consumer confidence. People are looking for leaders right now. They're looking to be led. They're looking for a reason for hope. That's why I put it out there. Oh, Colin from Ottawa is watching. I got to get my sponsor sheet here. He says, you forgot the Rod's rant brought to you by Bronco Plumbing and Heating Bumper before your rant on staying calm. Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. Thank you, Colin in Ottawa. Point three, and I don't think we're going to get through all of these before we break. That's fine. In this rollout for Flooring Superstore, the last time the Buccaneers made the playoffs, I don't really want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to do it anyways. Do you have a guess?
The year they won the Super Bowl?
Shortly after.
Yeah.
2007.
Okay, I was going to say 05 or 06. What year did they win the Super Bowl?
2003.
Yeah, okay.
Which, incidentally, I'm calling up the poll, by the way. That's our poll question today. Will the Buccaneers make the playoffs for the first time since 2007 with Tom Brady? the daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. 62% of respondents saying, yes, they will. They haven't made the playoffs since 2007, folks. Jeff Garcia was the quarterback. He is now technically, I think, a senior. Senior citizen.
It's crazy. It's so true. And are we going to start doing to Tampa what we did last offseason with the Cleveland Browns?
Anointing them.
You know, and they have all these weapons, and now all of a sudden, they're contenders for a Super Bowl. Now you are with Tom Brady. You have to be in the conversation. At least people are going to be aware of Tampa Bay. They're also adding an extra team into the playoffs, too, so that'll help their cause.
Two extra teams. In their conference, one on each side.
Yeah.
Can you please put up that comment from Todd Kleinsaucer? I'd like to read that one about the oil field workers, if you guys saw it. I think it's important. Point four, a Senators player has tested positive for the coronavirus. You saw that, right? The first NHL player. I'm just following this with interest. And as I pointed out way back at the start of the week, I don't need to be looked, or any of us, as the newsbreakers, the newsmakers, as far as the coronavirus goes.
Yeah.
I don't want that responsibility. But it's interesting that they've identified players in the NBA, Kevin Durant being one.
Yeah, four Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, four. It's interesting that in the issues of privacy are a huge thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they will ever identify who that Ottawa senator is.
I don't know.
Because privacy is a big issue when it comes to your health.
Well, it sure is. And I don't know. We're treating this like it is a big deal. It is spreading fast and it is dangerous. But we're treating like it's incurable.
Yep.
Like he's like, we got to X him out here. He's, you know what I mean? And not associate with them forever, and that's why they're not putting the names out, and he's going to get hate mail and this. I mean, you can't, it's tough to control when you contract it and how you get it, and it's a strain of the flu, is it not? I don't want to downgrade it, but it's going to go away. We're going to be able to get through this, and his name, you don't want their names attached to this or anybody to think that he was responsible for people losing their lives. Because that's overblowing this.
Our viewer Donna says, it sure is in the health field. She's referring to privacy.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious watching this, saying, how come the NBA players' names are coming out? Because I don't believe they should be outed either. And for the Ottawa Senators. On the flip side, from the WHL, I don't know if you saw the Winnipeg Ice's statement. It was either this morning or last night that the players that they tested for COVID-19, coronavirus, tested negative.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So that's great.
And that's how we get back to playing sports, even while this is still going on, is if the players, and again, I don't know what's going on at ESPN, but we talked about this. We're like, they're still on the air. They're still going to work. Well, they've got a big campus. Likely they have residencies on campus, places to sleep, that type of thing. They could all be quarantined together. And if they're all chosen to be negative, that area of control is ESPN's campus. So anybody there can go on TV, they can work, they can interact, they're all negative, but they're no contact with the outside world. Could be the same thing in sports. You quarantine for 2 weeks, so the virus is dead. Quarantine for 2 weeks. So anybody who comes to the arena has been tested, they're negative. That's the bus driver, the charter, the pilot, your team, everybody. And if they are, then they can come to a rink together. If the TV crew's all been quarantined for 2 weeks, right? If we have control of the people who are going to be part of it, we can play sports again. And so I know they're thinking about all of those things.
A couple things. As soon as I read this from Teddy Kleinsaucer, can you please put up the comment from Wayne in Victoria, if you don't mind, Clark? Teddy Kleinsaucer writes in and he says, oil field worker here, laughing at people who always laugh at us when we lose our jobs and don't have a paycheck. I have my nest eggs. How about you? Well, for one, don't laugh at people, Teddy. I know where you're coming from. But for those that are living check to check to check, I get the panic out there. The oil field workers knew this long ago, that you need to have a cash reserve. Most people don't. I would suggest not laughing at them, but I get where you're coming from. Wayne and Victoria brought up the point of privacy. That's why I'm watching this. I think I've mentioned it enough that people should know. I do work in the field of recovery, health, and wellness when I leave this studio every day. That's where I spend the rest of my time. So the issue of privacy and health, I understand. I understand the ins and outs of all of it. And I just wonder if these reporters that are reporting it even understand the liability the position of libel that they're putting themselves in by reporting that? I don't know. That's out of my curiosity. And that's, again, why I felt making the report yesterday about the CFL season, hopefully starting on time, was not irresponsible. Because I do understand the ins and outs of what we're dealing with here. We're going to break. Just want to check in from Norway. Trent Bruner writing. He says, Norway here. It's quiet where I'm at with my wife and daughters. Another quiet church to practice in today. He practices the organ in the church, okay? Just for people that don't know. He plays the church organ. So he goes to the church to...
Yep.
He says, we'll be very different on screen once the sickness goes away. The toilet paper won't be far behind. Stay healthy back home. Did I ever tell you the story of when I broke into a church accidentally in Brandon, Florida, and had the cops come after me?
What?
It's a true story. Maybe after the break.
Tease.
It's a true story.
A tease.
I had to go to a church on a Friday night. A lot of people will understand that know me why I had to go to a church on a Friday night. So I go to the church as I'm looking up the address, go to the church, rattling the doors, they're locked. So I go all around the church, try to find a door that's open. I find one. Perfect. Walk in, and I'm standing right at the altar. And all of a sudden, pew, 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 the alarm's going off like crazy. I'm like, ah! So I text my sponsor. I said, I'm in the middle of a church. I tripped the alarm system. What do I do? He wrote me back and said, pray. Then the cops showed up. True story. We'll be back. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. It's a Rod Peterson show. Coming to Game Plus Network in April. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina. It's the best time of year to receive the biggest discounts, highest trade values, lowest payments, and hundreds of brand new vehicles to choose from. Get a special $1 over invoice price on all remaining new 2019 vehicles. Plus, get into a brand new Ford Escape for just $22,296 plus tax. And save up to $20,000 on 2019 Super Duties. Only for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-backed-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
What's today? March the 18th?
Yeah.
Too sweet.
12 days till I get Big Bird out of the barn.
You got it like opening day?
Sure
opening day, April 1st.
Are you sure?
And by the way, I don't think people are going to be in the mood for April 1st jokes this year. Just a hunch. The Duke is here.
What's up?
Can put the camera on him for a second. Sports update. An unidentified NHL player has tested positive for the new coronavirus. The Ottawa Senators announced late Tuesday night one of their players has tested positive for COVID-19, has mild symptoms, and is in isolation. Ottawa is notifying those who came in contact with the player and have told other members of the team to monitor their health and seek advice from the medical staff. Vail Resorts has announced it will close all of its North American resorts for the season over concerns for the coronavirus. Over the weekend, the industry giant said it would shut down the resorts for at least 1 week before reassessing. The company will consider reopening Breckenridge in Colorado, Heavenly in Lake Tahoe, and Whistler Blackcomb in BC in late April or early May. First the Masters, now the PGA Championship. The PGA Championship is being postponed, according to a person involved in the discussions. It was scheduled for May 14th to the 17th at Harding Park in San Francisco. It follows the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's recommendation that events of 50 people or more not be held for 8 weeks. That would last until the Sunday before the PGA Championship. And that is your Sports report on this Wednesday for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, and for Red Bull Canada. Thanks to Red Bull Canada for jumping on board the RP show. Watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make appearances at some of the Rod Peterson Show on location events this summer. Red Bull is launching a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws, Superstore, and No Frills. So I'm doing a little bit of... going to tap dance for a bit here. Ron Snyder was scheduled to be with us from Baltimore. He authored his new book on the Baltimore Stallions. And then Clark said to hold off on Ron because he's going to need to get a better connection before he joins us. So, Duke, you're up.
Sup? I see Ray Allgaard's on the show.
Yes.
And I just have to say that the border's closing today, like officially between Canada and the U.S. Trump and Trudeau have come out and said that. I'm scheduled to go to Vegas April 26th. That ain't happening. No, they've closed Vegas for 30 days, actually. Now it's not just the resorts coming out and saying that. They actually, the county or the city has come out and said, no more gambling, no more. They're on a 30-day quarantine there, too. So the city that never sleeps has been literally, put to bed. It is an eerie time, but the fallout when you want to talk sports, no Masters, no gambling. Like, there's no sports to gamble.
Oh, wait. Well, actually, that was point eight of my, or point six of my quick six was, we might find the days long by the time 1 month or 2 month goes through to fill time on the show. We might. So I shouldn't have brazenly said there'll all be something to talk about. But I got an email today from a PR guy for a gambling company. I can't even remember the name of it. But he says, you can now bet on the weather.
Well,
various
for
major United States cities. Yeah, for degenerates, I guess, if you want to say. His term, not mine.
Well, and how many of the sports books and things like that now will transition to online gambling and a little bit more?
I mean,
just to be able to take them and keep people involved and... I don't know. I think that could happen.
I mean, from a sport, from a Nevada aspect, sports books don't make up anywhere near the bulk of what they make. It's the penny slots. Vegas is just feasts on penny slots.
But
however,
those are online too.
On a sports show, I mean, it is. It is interesting to see, something that I'm not a huge gambler, but I love to bet on the Kentucky Derby. I have no knowledge. I really know nothing. I kind of look at the odds, pick out a horse that I think I want to win. It just makes it really enjoyable for me, that 2 minutes. But
we do have Ron ready. I want to read this email just for some people know what it's like in our world. Here's the email. Hi, Rod. I wanted to reach out with an announcement from Bovada, a leading online sports book. With most sporting events canceled for an indefinite period of time because of the coronavirus, the site is now offering gamblers the ability to bet on the weather for real. For example, what will be the maximum temperatures in Houston, Texas? On March the 18th, over 81 degrees Fahrenheit, under 81 degrees Fahrenheit. What will be the maximum temperature in Jacksonville, Florida on the same day? Over 83 degrees Fahrenheit, under 83 degrees Fahrenheit. You can bet on Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Vancouver, BC, Chicago, New York City.
I'll take rain in Vancouver. I'll take the over on rain.
If you need to do this, I suggest you call 1-800-STOP-GAMBLING. That's what I think.
But seriously, I am glued to the stock market right now.
Right, that's different.
Well, that's just donation right now. That's not actually gambling. But it is in a similar way. I mean, you're trying to...
Let's do it now. Let's go down to Baltimore, Maryland, is where I can only imagine Ron Snyder is today, the author of the book on the Baltimore Stallions. Howdy, Ron. How are you?
How are you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
We're doing great. I shouldn't assume that you're in Baltimore just because you wrote a book on the Stallions. Where are you at?
I am in Baltimore. Baltimore.
Okay. How are things in Baltimore amid the coronavirus pandemic, if you don't mind me starting there?
No, it's of course. That's what everyone's talking about. It's like many of the parts of the country. I mean, schools are shut down. My kids are doing schoolwork right now. Restaurants and bars here in Maryland are closed for everything except carry out and delivery. We're pretty much shut down right now and just kind of waiting to see how this plays out and just trying to be safe, doing social distancing and just listening to what the health experts are telling us to do.
That is exactly what we have here, and I guess it's all over the globe. So, Ron, thank you for that. Now, I got to be honest. somehow, some way, I saw your initial tweet about your book on the Stallions, and it piqued my interest. As a 20-year CFL guy and a lifelong fan, I knew all about the Stallions, watched them real closely, and had a lot of good friends go through that organization. Jim Popp and Don Matthews, chief among them. What made you want to write this book, and what's it feel like now that it's finally out?
Well, you know, this was a story I've been wanting to tell for about a decade. I'm a journalist in the area for close to 20 years. And, you know, I grew up, I was 16 when the Stallions, Baltimore CFL cult, CFLers, whatever you want to call them, kind of came through. You know, for those you know, who aren't familiar with Baltimore, we had lost the Colts in 1984. The NFL had teased us a little bit with some expansion. We lost out to Jacksonville and Charlotte. We lost out to some teams possibly moving here. And then, you know, when the CFL expansion happened in the U.S. in the early to mid-90s, Jim Spiros came to town and sold us on a winner of a program, and you know we just really enjoyed it. That was the first team I could enjoy growing up as a fan, and you know the way they kind of caught fire those 2 years, winning the Grey Cup in their last game before you know kind of ending the U.S. experiment of the CFL.
Well. You guys jump in anytime, Derek. It's a magical time for you, too. I mean,
yeah, I find it really, really interesting because when ESPN came up with their 30 for 30s, the band played on when the Colts left town. And this is almost kind of like part two to that. I find these documentaries very, very interesting. What's one of the kind of the curious stories that takes us into the start of the book and the genesis of the Stallions in Baltimore?
Well, I mean, a lot of it was, you know, kind of that fallout of expansion. You know, Baltimore thought we were going to get Jacksonville. When Jacksonville and Charlotte got the teams, we thought that was going to want to be one of ours. And you know, we were kind of done with the NFL at that point. You know, they had kind of dragged their feet with us and teased us and stole our Colts. And then, you know, football came back. And you know, Don Matthews came into town. Tracy Ham came into town, and they were everywhere. When they came into town, they were at all the schools, all the restaurants. You know, they went out and hooked up with all of the band, even the old Colts band. You know, and then of course they connected with you know the Colt legends in town: Johnny Unitas, Art Donovan, Bruce Lehrer, Tom Matte, who owned part of the team, and really kind of they were blue collar players for a blue collar city, and it was football and it was exciting football, and we embraced them like you know they were one of our own.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ron Snyder, but did Johnny Unitas not flip the coin at the first game or one of the games for the Stallions?
He was there. Again, when they were there, I'm trying to remember if he flipped the coin or not, but I know he was there. And they introduced all of the players. I mean, they had all of the Hall of Famers there, and that was something that really kind of helped that team take off, was the fact that those players didn't associate with the Indianapolis Colts. They associated with Baltimore, and when a team came here and wanted to embrace themselves for Baltimore, you know, they said, hey, these guys are football players, and you know, we love what they're doing here.
The history, Baltimore Stallions, the brief, brilliant history. What got you so interested? I mean, you wouldn't have been that old when this was going down in Baltimore. Why, 25 years later, do you care so much?
Well, I was 16, 17 years old when it happened. And like I said, I was 6 years old when the Colts left. I was 18 when the Ravens arrived. So my whole childhood was without a professional football team. We had the USFL, but they weren't really part of Baltimore. They practiced in Philly. They played in almost in D.C., and they were called more Stars. But this was the first team that I could embrace, and it was fun football. I mean, and they were good. I mean, and, you know, look, they were only there 2 years, but, I mean, just look at the impact that they had on the CFL game. I mean, guys like Tracy Ham, Mike Pringle, Alfred Swack Payton. I mean, like you said, Don Matthews, Jim Popp. And it was a story I wanted to tell because, I mean, it was like they came in, they captured our hearts. Then the NFL returned, and they were gone. It was almost as quickly as they came, and they never got, I felt, the true goodbye that they deserved. I mean, they did everything we asked them to do, and it was, and it just at the end of the day, the NFL came back, and you know there wasn't just room for two professional football teams in Baltimore. And of course, at that point, the CFL experiment in the U.S. it just wasn't going to work. I mean, you know, other than Baltimore and to a lesser degree, San Antonio, you know, that didn't work here in the U.S.
Ron, when you think about back to, you know, I know you're 16, 17 years old when Baltimore was in the CFL, but what was the CFL's imprint in Baltimore? What do you remember about the league's imprint? Because it's such a heavy NFL influence all across the United States. But what was the CFL's imprint in that city, you know, while they were having success?
Well, when they were having success, I mean, look, we didn't have an NFL team. We didn't want to embrace Washington, the Redskins. And you got to remember that first year was the year of the MLB strike. So when that strike was going on, the CFLers, you know, as they were called, because, you know, they were called the CFL Colts, as you can see in my hat, you know, Baltimore CFL Colts, but the NFL sued, and then they got the injunction. They played that whole first season without a name, and really it became national stories. I mean, they were leading ESPN, and they were in Sports Illustrated, Washington Post, New York Times, and they were everywhere because at that point they were the only game in town, and they were good. I mean, you know, and then and that I think that's what made the difference, was that it was good football, it was exciting football. You know, we had to get used to, you know, some of the Canadian rules, but I mean we embraced those fairly quickly, and like I said, we had 35,000-40,000 fans out to those games for, you know, most of that history there.
I'm going to tell you, Ron Snyder, I could talk about this all day. I fear your arms are getting tired. So I have one more question from Colin in Ottawa. He says, Jim Spiros should be in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Spiros proved that Americans can embrace and enjoy the three down game. I got to ask you about Jim Spiros. And guys, I don't know if you recall, but this guy, he was flamboyant. He was like all those great CFL owners of the 90s. And I remember when they lost the Grey Cup, he still got rings made for his team for winning the Southern Division in 94. And then the next year, they actually got the Grey Cup ring. So I guess they just tossed those rings. But what's this guy like, Ron? Is he full of hot air or good dude?
He was a great, you know, like, he talked to me for a long time. He gave me whatever I needed for this project. He'll tell you that this was the greatest accomplishment of his professional career. On top of that, I mean, they had a reunion here about 5 years ago for the 20th anniversary. And, you know, these guys have a connection to each other. And look, without, and I know the history doesn't necessarily link, but I mean, with the success in Montreal that the Alouettes had for, you know, much of their history after arriving in 1996 was because of the success, the foundation that was there in Baltimore that the Stallions had. Jim, again, short history. I mean, he walked the walk and tried to talk the talk. And, you know, even 25 years later, you ask him about his time in the CFL and his face will light up. And just like anyone that's associated with that team, I mean, when I reached out to some players, I mean, I had a dozen players who were ready to talk to me within 5 minutes of reaching out to their former PR director, Mike Gavigan. And, you know, and then they said I had to talk to this person and that person and this person and that person. I mean, I interviewed probably close to 50 people for this book. And I think it's a great story. You talked about 30 for 30. I think that this would make a great 30 for 30 in and of itself.
There's no doubt. Ron, I'm looking you up on Twitter. I was already following you. For those that want to follow him, it's Ron Snyder Media, Snyder. And I guess the best place to get your book is Amazon?
Amazon, McFarlane Publishing. It went to press today. It should be it's available for pre-order. We should have them out for a hard copy and Kindle before too long. And hopefully, with everything going on, they'll be able to get delivered fairly quickly.
Well, I sniff an opportunity. You are talking to the heartland of the CFL right now, and I could see if there was to be a book signing in Saskatchewan. Darren, you're the promoter of all time. We'll get him up there, one of our tailgate parties.
At the tailgate party.
Ron, keep in touch, and congrats on the book. I know it's a great feeling, and we will talk down the road.
Thank you so much, and good luck to you guys, and stay safe through all of this.
Same to you. Thank you. Ron all Snyder, right, checking in from Baltimore, wrote the book on the Stallions.
Yep.
And here's the thing. You were born, I always forget, was it 88?
87.
87?
Yeah.
Do you remember much of that?
That's my one memory of watching the CFL as a kid. Now, I remember I loved Danny McManus as a quarterback, and my dad would be watching the games, and me and my brother would watch about a quarter, maybe half. By the time they hit halftime, we went and grabbed our hockey shoulder pads and went out in the backyard and played football for the rest of the game, right? You can't sit down and watch for that long. When you're a kid, you want to play. So we did that, and I was Danny McManus, or you were right. Doug Flutie or whatever. And, Darren Flutie was the guy there, and my name's Darren, so you attach there to that kind of situation. But the earliest memory I really have is that 95 Grey Cup. My parents had people over, all the snacks, they had the party, we watched it. And somewhere at my parents' house, we've got that 1995 Huddle Up in Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
We have that on a VHS tape, that game, recorded on the VHS, Baltimore beating Calgary. Wow. So I remember that game.
Okay. I do. That was a stud team, yeah. Too.
Well, like so many. Both of them. It's not just about the Stallions, of course. And look, we're going to break, and we can come back with some of these stories. But, for years, I've worked very closely with the PR people of the league, and they've always wanted to cover up the U.S. expansion like a turd in the sandbox. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. Rod, stop talking about it. And Ed Willis, my good friend from the Vancouver province, Ed Willis, who is a spit disturber, if there ever was one, wrote a book on this.
Yes, he did.
Border Wars.
Yes, he did.
And he shipped me a copy of it. He signed it to Rod from one CFL guy to another. And I read that sucker. Actually, as we were flying to Tampa, I read the whole thing. You were with me.
Yes.
And I bust out. I was crying. I was laughing so hard at some of the stories in this book.
They
announced the team in Las Vegas. They had strippers and midgets and unicorns at the news conference. That's my kind of thing. But they're like, the more they... Look, we'll take a break and come back. But when I finished, the book, I was like, oh, I kind of see why they want to forget this.
But it's
because it was... It's somewhat embarrassing.
Great storytelling, though.
Great storytelling.
Yes.
It's the history of the league. See,
and there were some stud players that came out of that.
Well, sometimes people have a history, a family history. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. Well, you know what? That's not the way to deal with it. Not talking about it. Sorry. But anyways, when I keep wanting to talk about it and they don't, that's where I realize. It's better that I'm over here doing this show and they're over there.
Yep.
And we'll just... talk about what we want to talk about, and they can talk what they want to talk about. Yeah. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, coming to Game Plus Network in April, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It is episode 195 of Canada's only morning sports talk show. And coming up, Ray Elgard from Las Vegas and also Jim Lang. What are you laughing at, DuPont?
Brett's comment at the bottom.
No, that was
okay,
horrible.
Brett Upton writing in from Saskatoon. He says, remember the Vegas anthem singer who sung "O Canada" like "O Christmas Canada. Tree? Thankfully, he made up for it 2 weeks later. Yes, Casey Parks. You can find it on YouTube. And I get, we had a little talk in the break here because Clark said, Clark, I'm just going to throw you under the bus here for a second. You're used to it. He said, just don't go too long with the author. I'm like, I'm sniffing that this is going to be really good. It ended up being really good. But when you're young, he's younger than you. They don't remember that era of CFL football.
And you kind of touched on, it just reminds me in so many ways, the USFL and the documentary, the 30 for 30, the characters and the people that were involved with it. And you talk about anthem singers or Las Vegas or some of the big name guys. Like, again, the USFL, they had some big name, Doug Flutie, Jim Kelly, David Archer, and some of these guys that were in the CFL at that time. But the stories Steve that Young. Went around it. Tremendous. Like, you could literally, he's done a book. Wilkes has done a book. You could literally do a great documentary on those.
There's no doubt.
Like,
and
it
they
would be fantastic.
And they should. Maybe if we get into the documentary business,
Paul,
we will. Yeah, we've talked about it. But I remember this, fellas. 94, 95, whenever Casey Parks butchered O Canada at Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas.
Been there.
I was listening in out the trunk of my car at Craven.
Really?
At Big Valley Jamboree with my best friend from the cradle, Christopher Ronald Winkler. And we were listening to the broadcast on CKRM, and Casey Parks launches into, "Oh, Canada, oh, Canada." And we're looking at each other. What the hell is this?
It was coming out of the. How many Pilsner have we had today?
It was coming out of the radio. And Jeff Currier and Carm Gartieri will tell you to this day that it was so hot in that stadium and in that city that they stripped down to their underwear. They were broadcasting in their underwear. That's how hot they were in Las Vegas that day. It was July 94-95.
The Italian Stallion.
Yeah. So
tarps off.
Tarps off for the boys in the broadcast booth. By the way, I just want to read this tweet from Michael Zaplitny. Michael Zaplitny, he is a radio legend in this province. He tweets, "The power is on, the natural gas is flowing, clean water is coming out of our taps, and nasty water is removed. Hospitals are open and working, there is food, most people are not sick. We are fortunate and blessed." Thank you, Michael Zaplitny, for that, and that's just to, again, try to quell some of the panic that's going around. To the Prairie Mobile text line, you can reach us anytime at 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777, Prairie Mobile, your authorized Sasktel Mobility dealer. Irene in Saskatoon writes in. She is an ER nurse practitioner.
Thank you for your work.
She says, first of all, thank you, Irene. She says, LOL, love the toilet paper. Do you have hand sanitizer too? I want to point this out. One more time. This is virtual toilet paper on the wall behind me. I apologize for our online listening audience. That's from the boys downstairs who are bored, twiddling their thumbs.
Took me a while yesterday.
From Stephen Kleinsasser, writes in from Martinsville, from the 471. He says, hey, Rod, great show. If you need something to talk about, can you talk about your perspective from the broadcast booth during the 13th man deal in 2009? I was working in North Dakota, combining corn. My brother was watching the game, and he had his phone up to the TV so I could listen to it. Again, Stephen Kleinsaucer checking in. He was in North Dakota at the time.
Were you even in the booth at that point?
Oh, yeah. There's a long, sordid story to that, by the way, and a good one. People said they loved the story, so let's go with the stories.
Yes.
Come on.
I thought you were on the field by that
point. No, there's a story.
Yeah, well, I want to hear it now.
So it's 2009 Grey Cup. As was the bane of my existence, I couldn't be in two places at once. I was getting ripped apart by the Regina Pats ownership that I was a Grey Cup week when they were starting their West Coast road trip down in the Pacific Northwest. So I was down in Seattle, Everett, to start that week. Pats had games. The radio network, Chorus Radio, which was carrying the broadcast nationally on the radio, called me ahead of the time and they said, Rod, we want you to call one half of the football game.
Right.
And I said, you would know this story. You and I were together all the time.
Yeah, but I don't know the ending.
And I said, I don't want to call one half of the football game. If I can't call the whole game, I don't want to call any of the game. And the guy, and the guy's name was John Voss. And he says, well, you can't be the star. We're offering you a half the game. I said, it's not about being the star. Would you ask a referee to ref half the game? It's dumb. I just don't want to call any of it. It's an insult to the profession in my mind. And he goes, well, we're offering you, you know, the second half. And I said, no, if it, my mind's not changing. And what ticked me off was I was in Calgary for the start of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and then I'm leaving to go to Seattle, and I'm getting all the CFL people ripping me to shreds that I'm leaving during Grey Cup week and my team's in the game, yet I got this ownership of this hockey team pissed off that I'm not going to be with them for the whole trip. Welcome to my life. So anyways, the morning of the game, actually, I called four games on that trip now that I think about it. Tri-City, Spokane, Seattle, Kent. And I flew in Sunday morning of the Grey Cup game. And they said, Rod, are you going to call the game? And I said, yes, I will. And they said, well, you're going to call the first half. And I said, well, you told me on the phone I was going to call the second half. They go, that's changed. Do you still want to do it? And I said, yeah, sure. So I walk into McMahon Stadium. And we're coming to a crescendo, folks. Hang on. I'm taking the long...
No, I like this.
Okay, I'm taking the long way around. So I'm walking into McMahon Stadium, and the music's blaring over the stadium. And by the way, how many times have I said I like McMahon Stadium? It's my guilty pleasure. I don't have a problem
really?
With McMahon Stadium. I like it. I've always liked games there. Even when I was a fan, I liked games there.
I hate it there.
The stadium was blaring, Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night by Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it is. Riders are gonna win, baby. Yeah, I'm psyching myself up, right? Going in to call this game. Call the first half, and that was a debacle and a disaster in and of itself, too, but for other reasons. The commercial breaks were 2 minutes long, but they sold 3 minutes of spots, so we were missing all these plays. I got Carm Carteri on my right, I got Ed Fillion on my left, and the game's going on, there's commercials running, and I'm looking back at the producer going, what the hell? And they oversold the broadcast. I'm getting hell. They're missing plays. Wasn't a great day. So when we got to halftime and my role was up, I took the headphones off, tunk, see ya. And I went down to the sidelines.
Right, okay.
And I'm on the sidelines for the second half, and I'm like, this is kind of cool, man. I haven't been on the sidelines since the early to mid-90s, you know, around the Riders. So I'm there, and I'm like, I'm into it. Steve Mazurek's like 10 yards down the sidelines. The Rider bench was here. Gaynor's there. And it's all Rider fans.
And it was
stadium,
going
right?
well.
Everything was going great. They got a 16-point lead going into the fourth quarter. I'm thinking, how can they screw this up? There's no way. Well, the lead started to dwindle. But, I don't know, with about 4 minutes to go, I think the Riders scored a touchdown. And I remember literally jumping up and down with Gaynor. We're hugging each other on the sidelines. And I'm designing in my mind what the Grey Cup ring is going to look like. And this is going to be awesome. And then everything went to hell. We all know the story. Mm-hmm. And we get down to the Damon Duval, you know, the field goal, and he misses. And all of a sudden, everybody thinks the game's over.
Right.
And it's with all due apologies to our war friends and our Canadian Armed Forces people. It felt like a war zone because fireworks are going off. Music's playing, streamers, right? Everybody's going crazy. And all of a sudden, I'll distinctly remember Neil Hughes coming back to the bench, got his helmet, rifling at the bench, and said a word, screamed a word that rhymes with schmuck. And I'm like, what?
So you were at the bench.
I'm right there.
Yeah, so you were on the sideline.
I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? What?
Right.
And like all the flags were down in the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys knew. The guys knew. DeVal rarely misses to begin with. He's not going to miss on a second chance. No. So when it came down to the last play, we know what happened. Riders lose the game 28-27, I believe, was the final. And I didn't even go into the locker room after. I didn't even go in. We were all stunned.
I had to.
You had to for your job, and I guess I probably should have, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to see my buddies in that. We all had our own cross to bear on that. Mm-hmm. And I guess the other interesting point was, it's 2009. Cell service isn't quite then what it is now. The guys in the booth were texting me, now that I think about it. Mark Steven and Rick Moffitt was calling the game. The guys were texting me, and they were saying, Rod, get up here. It looks like the Riders are going to win. Come up and call the last 3 minutes. So as the stadium drained when the game was over, all of a sudden my phone's going, ding, 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 ding. All these texts start coming in. They wanted me up to call the end of the game. And I'm thinking, thank God I didn't get these messages, because I wouldn't have wanted to call it.
Right.
I wouldn't have known what I would have said. I would have sworn. I don't think there's any doubt that I would have sworn.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty sure. And I mean, I also remember this. I had to go back up to the press box to get my briefcase, and I was walking to the elevator down with Bob Irving, and I can't remember what else, or who else. And Knuckles puts his arm around me, and he goes, crappy ending for you guys. Great for the CFL. And I'm like, Bob, how can you say that? But I get it.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah.
And Bob's like everybody's favorite uncle. You could never be mad at Bob.
Yeah.
But at that time, I wasn't in the mood for looking at this from the national perspective. I was looking at it from a Rider perspective. And I'm thinking, you count these championships. It's not, we'll get them next year. Do you know? There's none of that.
In Saskatchewan.
No. And then Mike McCullough saying, don't ever let anybody tell you that a game comes down to one, doesn't come down to one play, because that did. And I'll tell you one more. The next morning, we were flying home, and I remember Bob Wiley. I will never forget Bob Wiley was the O-line coach, the now legendary O-line coach because of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
He was friggin' fit to be tied. Like, he was still mad the next morning at the airport, and he was just like, how do you screw that up? How do you screw that up? Personnel think, oh, this is pro football. And he's like kicking the thing. You don't ever get over that.
No.
You don't ever get over that.
Especially if was on that team and wasn't there in 13, you know, which there wasn't a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Or in 07.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of that carryover, because if you're a guy that ends up, if you're Omar Morgan.
Oh, don't.
You know, it haunts you. It haunts you forever.
It sure as hell does, because Omar Morgan's a very good friend of mine, the O-Dog, and he left the Riders in 07 because he thought he'd have a better chance of winning with Edmonton.
Yep.
Riders win without him,
and then
he comes back. Yep. And there's actually a photo on my website, rodpeterson.com. If you Google Omar Morgan, you'll see the photo of him walking to the plane after the game.
After 9?
10. Yep. 10. But so he lost two more Grey Cups after that.
That's Marian Hossa, right? Has to sit with Pittsburgh to watch Detroit win the cup, then goes and signs with Detroit in the offseason, gets to the cup final against Pittsburgh and watches Pittsburgh wins it.
And yeah, I mean, it's happened, but it doesn't make it any easier on those guys when they look back at their career. That, you know, just the odd decision, you know, if Kavis can count.
That's the odd thing, by the way, is Omar Morgan has been inducted into the Plaza. He's been chosen for induction. He would get a ring, because with Plaza induction, you get one. But he has, he's one of the few that I know of to have turned down the opportunity to go into the Plaza for his own reasons. But interesting stories. Speaking of interesting stories, Ray Elgard has logged in and he's ready to go. The legendary 81. Will join us from Las Vegas to open up hour two. It is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming to Game Plus Network in April, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. The Capital Auto Mall has over 550 used vehicles, and they've all been repriced to move. Right now, get the certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala LT for only $21,511 plus tax. Or check out the certified pre-owned 2019 Buick Encore Preferred All-Wheel Drive. It's only $23,911 plus tax. Only for a limited time at Canada's number one GM certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.